Good morning.
Good morning.
No. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. All right. I want to know that somebody's out there. I'm disappointed the choir's not up here. I really wanted to preach to the choir. Oh, well. When it comes to doing sermons, I was thinking this morning about Ben Burtt. And Ben Burtt is an Academy Award-winning sound designer and editor. And when the Star Wars films came out, he was quoted as saying, "Films are not released, they escape." And that's kind of how I feel about this sermon. Every time I go through it, every time I look at it, it changes. And that being said, you just have to, at a certain point in time, say, "God, take this message and run with it." So that's exactly what we're going to do this morning. Stories are an incredible thing. There are lots of stories out there. There's lots of different types of stories. A story can be fiction or nonfiction. It can be science fiction. It can be history. A story can be a fairy tale. It can be a biography. A romance, a mystery, a fable, an allegory. A memoir, a journal, a report, a thesis. They can be long stories. They can be novels, epics, or sagas. They can be very short stories. They can be brief, an essay, a tale, an account. A story can be a poem. It can be prose. It can be a verse, a ballad, or even an ode. We can even have a story about a man named Jed. Or how about a story of a lovely lady? Or if those are a little bit too old for you, how about, now this is a story about how, all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. Any Will Smith fans in here? A couple? Okay. Speaking of Will Smith, here's one for you. How do you track Will Smith through the snow? You look for the fresh prints. Okay. You know, I think the bad joke inspiration comes from just standing up here. It's something about the pulpit. So coming back to the stories, I have a question for you. What's your story? Or using another term, what's your testimony? Now, what is a testimony? A testimony is the story that God has laid on your life. It's the interaction of yourself and God. And your testimony can be told through your actions. It can be told by how you interact with other people. It can be told through your behavior, your relationships. But many times our stories have to be told with words, either spoken or in writing. And that's when the word testimony really becomes important. Now, some people's testimonies are extremely bold and courageous. I was listening to the radio just this week, driving back from Indianapolis, and a lady was on the radio telling about her 6 years in human trafficking. It was a very bold story, a very courageous story, very sad story, but very powerful. Many of us don't have stories like that. Our stories are much more quiet and subtle. But many times those stories can be just as powerful because they can be stories about, that cause other people to say, "You went through that too? I thought I was the only one." So whether your story is very bold or your story is quiet and subtle, I just encourage you to be ready to tell it. Every Christian has at least one story. We have the story of how Christ came into our lives and saved us. But many of us have many more stories, how God has interacted with us and how God has changed our lives and guided us and directed us through our journey as Christians. We should be prepared to tell our stories. One day I was sitting at my, a number of years ago, sitting at my in-law's house. And very unexpectedly, my father-in-law turned to me and said, "I have a question for you." I said, "Sure." He said, "You're a pretty good scientist. How can you be a Christian? Now, when it comes to testimonies, that is a softball lob. That should be one that you should line up, wind up, and knock out of the park. I looked down and I didn't even have a bat. I was so unprepared for that question. I fumbled my way through it. I didn't even convince myself by the time I was done. I wasn't prepared. I wasn't ready for that question. But the Bible has something to say about that exact situation. 1 Peter 3, verses 15 and 16. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Always be prepared. So how do you prepare for your testimony? And I guess I left it down in the pulpit. There's a lot of materials that are down on the pew by Sarah. I've got it sitting down here. There's a book called How to Become a Courageous Christian. Thank you, Sarah. There's a couple of copies in the library if you're interested in that book. We've got the Bible study here in the church, the video series. It's about telling your testimony. And there's a lot of materials out there on the web and other places about how to sit down and write your testimony and what it should consist of. But I'll give you a few general outlines on this. We often use the Lord's Prayer as an outline for prayer, how to pray. Jesus says, when you pray, do this. Pray like this. Likewise, we can look at the Bible for an example for testimonies. And Paul's testimony to King Agrippa in Acts 26 is one such account that we can use. Here's the Cliff Notes version. Starting in Acts 21, Paul was attacked by Asian Jews. He was rescued by Roman soldiers, tried by the Sanhedrin. He couldn't get a fair trial there, so they plotted to kill him. The Romans responded by shipping Paul to Caesarea under guard. He was tried by the Roman governor Felix. The trial was inconclusive, so Felix held him for 2 years in prison. Then a new governor, Festus, comes in, and he tries to send Paul back to the Jews, who still want to kill him. Paul appeals to Caesar. But Festus had no charges to send to Rome, and Festus didn't understand the Jews. So in the meantime, Festus has this great opportunity happen. King Agrippa comes to town. And King Agrippa is an interesting guy. He's basically a Roman client. So he's a local ruler set up under the Roman government. He's a puppet government, basically. King Agrippa has another interesting thing about him. He's the great-grandson of King Herod. The same King Herod that tried to kill Jesus as an infant. So anyway, Festus decides to consult with Agrippa. Hey, come over here and check this guy out. Tell me what you think. You're a Jew. You're a Jewish expert. Tell me what you think of this guy, Paul. From chapter 21 to 26, though, something interesting. Every chance that Paul gets held in front, tried, jailers, he's preaching to everyone. It's amazing how he does not back down from the gospel of Christ. So anyway, coming to chapter 26, there's four takeaways. So there's 4 points I want to hit here. Paul teaches with thoughtfulness and respect. So when he comes in front of King Agrippa and Festus, he honors their offices. He talks to them like the honored positions that they are. But he doesn't pander to them. It's easy to focus on the message and forget who we're talking to. Paul knew darn well that King Agrippa was a Jew. And he knew as a Jew what King Agrippa would know. One thing we've got to remember with our testimonies is not to talk down or talk up past who we're talking to. Within the Christian church, there's a lot of Christianisms, a lot of terminology that we use that we've just got to be careful to strip away, because a lot of people in our culture today won't understand those terms or may be insulted by them. The second thing we can get out of Acts 26 is the structure. Paul tells a story, and he tells it in a very specific way. My life before I was a Christian, how I came to Christ, and the third point was my life after coming to Christ. He had a very definite structure, a very simple structure. And that's an easy one for us to emulate when we tell our own stories. The third takeaway on Acts 26 is this. Bring it back to Jesus. Every time Paul talked about his own situation, he brought it around to Jesus. He was very bold in that manner. And that's an important thing to remember when we give our testimonies. Because it's real easy to start talking about us. It's real easy to get soaked into, even talking about God did this in my life, God did that in my life. But come up short and say, this is why I believe in God. This is the promise of heaven that we have in Jesus Christ. All you have to do is believe. It's real easy to come up short on that. The fourth point, and I am fascinated by the end of chapter 26. Be prepared to be rejected. At the end, King Agrippa throws what is actually a pretty sly insult toward Paul. And I'm going to encourage everybody to just this week sit down and read Acts 26. But at the end, it's a pretty sly insult, and Paul turns around and slides it right back. It's really kind of funny to read, and especially when you read some of the commentaries about what was said and why it was said. But I'll leave that for you guys to discover on your own. There's actually quite a bit of humor in the Bible, but sometimes we lose it in translation. But be prepared to be rejected. But if you're rejected, again, I come back to point three. Stay fast with Jesus. Our testimony isn't always going to resonate with everybody, but when it does, and when God is in that moment, it's a very powerful thing. So who is your testimony for? Well, there's actually three, maybe four groups that we can talk about here about who your testimony is for. The first is your testimony is for other believers. Psalm 66:16 says this, "Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me." That's an encouragement for us to tell our stories to our fellow Christians. We are all called to encourage one another and to teach one another. What better way to teach than to actually give our testimonies to one another? The second group that we need to give our testimonies to are unbelievers. Coming back around to 1 Peter 3:15 and 16, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. Be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. If we don't tell them, who will? How will they know? Because people can watch your lives and see all the things, the joy that you have and the happiness that you have and how you handle situations, and never be able to draw the line back to Jesus until you tell them. And with prayer and with a little preparation, God will open those doors. He will open the door for you to give your testimony. The third group that your testimony is for you and God. Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Writing a testimony is a wonderful reflection on what God has done for you. It's a wonderful way to take a step back and say, you know, sometimes I'll think about things as, God hasn't done anything in my life. But when I stop and think about it, oh yeah, he has. Most definitely he has. Sometimes we forget. So the testimony is a great chance to sit down and write it down. And while you're writing it and remembering all the times that God has been faithful in your life, it's a great time to praise and worship God for those, for being faithful, for those events in your life. So it's a chance for you and God to become closer, just simply by sitting down and remembering what he's done in your life and preparing to tell it to someone else. I was really inspired by this sermon by Rhonda. If you don't know, she's had a number of people from the church come into the Sunday school class that she teaches and give their testimony. I watched Sarah, who's doing it today, and I watched Sarah get ready for this, to prepare. And I heard some other people talk about how they did theirs. And I thought, you know, our testimonies are just something that we keep wrapped up. And I had another sermon planned. It was mostly written, but it just wasn't resonating real well with me. And then I thought, you know, a lot of you haven't heard my testimony. And I thought, this might be a good chance. But before I do that, I want to give you a few helpful hints on testimonies. And again, that book, How to Become a Courageous Christian, has a lot of this in it, as well as other material that is out there. The first place to start when giving your testimony, when preparing your testimony, is I'm going to quote one of my favorite pastors. His name is Leo Giovanetti out of California. And almost every sermon he will say this: pray, 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 pray. Just like that. You need to pray for God's wisdom and guidance when you write the testimony. You need to pray for an opportunity to give your testimony. And you need to pray that the words are received when you give your testimony. Pray, 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 pray. Keep it short, 3 to 5 minutes. Braden Chandler, we were talking about doing sermons. And Braden, the last thing he said to me, he turned around, looked over his shoulder. He said, oh, Eric, 20 minutes. Keep it short. 3 to 5 minutes should be all it would take. If you keep going on longer than that, you may have the opportunity to keep preaching. But after 3 to 5 minutes, it's your turn to stop and listen. The third hint is to practice. Practice makes perfect. I once asked Pastor Mark, how many times do you run through your sermon before you give it? He said at least 2 to 3 times, right? I've done this sermon no fewer than 6. Practice makes perfect. So if you don't prepare and you don't even try, and by the way, who's a great audience to work on? Other Christians. We can share. It doesn't have to be perfect. I know who you are. But I'd love to hear your story. If you want to practice on me, it's wonderful. I'd love to hear them. Another helpful hint, number 4. Be honest. You don't need to make any black bears in your story. What God has given you is enough. There's no room for embellishment. There's no need to fabricate something grand to make your story bigger than what it is. Because at the end, this story is not, this may be your story. But it's not about you, it's about Christ. It's about God. It's what he's done in his life, done in your life. Let God work. Sometimes the biggest things we can do as Christians is get in God's way. Sometimes what we have to do is just put our story out there, tell about God, and let him work in other people's hearts. I will never bring a single person to Christ. That's God's job. That's Christ's job. I can just open the door. I can point them in a direction. They have to walk through the door, and that's up to God. Finally, I have a word about your testimony's power. If you think my testimony is worthless, I encourage you to read Revelations chapter 12, verse 11. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. This verse is spoken as a word from heaven. And this verse occurs right after Satan is thrown into the fiery lake of sulfur. They triumphed over him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That's it, those two things. You know, that list could be considerably longer, but it was simple. The blood of the Lamb and our testimony. My testimony is, this is just part of it. Some of you know I suffer from chronic depression. Chronic depression is one of those things that sneaks up behind you and it wraps your arms around you and it holds you tight before you even know it's there. One of the biggest things that has helped me over the years is to be able to give it a name. That's depression. I'm okay. It's just depression. I'll get through it. But in 2005, I was at the bottom of a pit. It was bad. I was depressed. My life felt like it was falling apart around me. In fact, in a lot of ways, it actually was. I'd broken up on a relationship. My job was not going well. I was at the bottom of the pit. I had other people praying around me. But I remember one night when I sat down and I said, God, my job's falling apart. I don't want to be here. I will go anywhere you send me. Just point me in a direction and I will go. God, where do you want me to go? And for one of the few times in my life, I heard a voice. And I knew it was God speaking to me. And he said exactly what I didn't want to hear. God, where do you want me to go? Right here. God, I'm on a sinking ship. Are you sure? Yep. Wow. Well, I rode that ship to the bottom. I lost my job. About a week after that happened, I did keep a promise to a friend. And I came back into town and I helped her work on a botany exam. And we've been friends for about 3 years, met about 3 years earlier. And that night could probably be considered Sarah and I's first date. Looking back, I realize God did not want me to ride a sinking ship to the bottom. But what he didn't want me to do was leave where I was at without Sarah. He held me there until I realized that the people I needed around me were there. God is faithful. Sometimes it may not feel like it. Sometimes it may not feel like he's doing everything that you want him to do, but he's giving you exactly what you need. And that was the lesson I needed to learn back in 2005. The rest of the story was, that was about November of 2005. We were engaged in March of 2005, I had the job with the DNR in April of 2006, I'm sorry. March of 2006, we were engaged. April of 2006, I started with the DNR. July of 2006, we bought a house, and in September of 2006, we were married. So in 1 year, that's one heck of a turnaround, and there's no way we could have done that without God. God is faithful, and that's my testimony, or a small part of it. Let's close in prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to reach up to you and praise you. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. I want to thank you for the people in this church who serve, the people who are willing to come and listen, brave this weather. And Lord, I just hope that you fill this place. And I hope that you fill the hearts as we depart, that we can be bold, that we can tell your story. Lord, I pray for these words. I pray for your gospel, that it can come out in our community and that we can be bold messengers, that we can look for those openings, that you present us and open our eyes and show us what we are to do from day to day, and that we be prepared to go and do your purpose, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful congregation, for this wonderful time of fellowship, friendship, and family, Lord. And I just pray that you fill our days. Thank you and amen.